الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Very easy way to attain the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to become beneficial people. Beneficial people means that we become people who benefit other people, who fulfill the needs of others, who assist others, help others, serve others, have well-being for other individuals. And being beneficial people, causing benefit to other people, this is a very beloved attribute and a sifat that whoever has this attribute, they become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah looks upon them with the gaze of muhabbah. If you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has coined a story about the ant. And there's a particular surah that is called Suratul Naml. Naml means ant. And in that story, what happens is that there is this particular ant which addresses its fellow ants and says that the lashkar or the army of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam is coming. So, O fellow ants, udkhulu masakinakum, you should enter into your homes, enter into your masakin, in your under the ground, go there. So that la yahtimannakum Sulaimanu wa junudu, so that the Sulaiman alayhi salam and his army, they won't trample you with their feet. So look, there's an ant who has this fikr, this worry, this concern about the fellow ants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this act so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in his own Quran and named that surah Suratun Naml. Naml means ant. So if an ant has this attribute that they wants to benefit the fellow ants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes so happy, so likes this amal so much, then imagine if a person has this quality and they become beneficial, they benefit people around them, then how happy would this person, how beloved this person would become in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, a sahabi, he came and he asked that, Ya Rasulallah, man ahabbun nasi ilallah, that who is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among all of humanity, among all human beings, who is the most beloved to Allah? And the Prophet ﷺ said that anfa'uhum linnas, the most beloved of people according to Allah is that who brings most benefit to people, who benefits other people. And then he also asked another question, that what is the most beloved amal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet ﷺ replied that ahabbal amali ilallah, the most beloved of deeds, amal ilallah, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is sururun tadkhiluhu ala mu'minin, is that you bring surur, happiness, joy to the heart of a fellow believer. Bringing a smile, a joy, a pleasure, happiness to the heart of a fellow believer, this is the most ahabbal amal, the most beloved of deeds in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet ﷺ explained this further, that takshifu anhu karban, to relieve him of some distress, aw takzi anhu daynan, or to pay off his debt, aw tatrudu anhu ju'an, or to stave away hunger from that person. And if a person is in some distress, the first thing, four things I mentioned. One is that you bring happiness to the happiness to the heart of a believer. And there's so many ways you can do this. Just sometimes by saying a few words of comfort are enough. You sometimes call that person, wish that person, that is enough. Sometimes just an unexpected message can also be enough to bring a joy to the heart of the other person. In fact, there is a riwayah which mentions that when a person brings an unexpected joy and happens to the heart of the other individual, then Allah Ta'ala forgives all your sins. All the sins are forgiven when a person gives joy, unexpected joy, to the heart of that other person. There's a story about a pious person who had someone came to ask him for some money. Some beggar came to ask him for some money. And he wanted some, let's say, 10 dirhams. And this person, he asked one of his helpers that he wrote down a particular amount on the paper and said that go to the treasure box and take this amount and give it to this person. So when that person, he took that chit, he saw that on that it was written 100 dinars. So he asked that person, no, he's asking for 10. You're giving him 100. So he said, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let me correct this. And then he made a correction and he wrote down 1,000 dinars on that. Now the person, the helper, he took that chit, he wasn't able to understand. He went, took out 1,000 dinars and gave it to that beggar. And the beggar was surprised and he made dua. And then later on, the helper, he asked the sheikh that, why did you give him 1,000? He was asking for 10. You gave him, initially you said that give him 100. And then I corrected you that he's asking for 10. And then you made a correction and you wrote down 1,000. Why? So he then explained that when he asked for 10, I wanted to give him extra so that it would give him unexpected joy to his heart. And as a result of that, my sins will be forgiven. But then when you mentioned the number, you said, why are you giving him 100? So then the beggar in his heart, he would have been thinking that I was about to get 100. So even if I paid him 100 at that time, it wouldn't have given him on that unexpected joy. So I canceled that and I said, give him 1,000. Because now when you give him 1,000, that would give him unexpected happiness and my sins will be forgiven as a result of that. Look at the beauty of the deen of Islam. And if you look at the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, this is not only one of the most beloved acts that you benefit other people, but there are also certain maqamat, certain ranks, certain a rutbah that a person can attain in the sight of Allah. That rutbah may not be able to attain if they don't have this quality. And if you look at the Prophet ﷺ before Nabi al-Islam attained Nabuwat, what was the sifat, the dominant characteristic trait of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? You will see that the Prophet by temperament, by nature, was someone who would benefit other people. Beneficial person, benefiting. Benefiting others, serving others, it doesn't bring reduction in your izzat. Doesn't reduce your izzat when you serve others, do khidmat of others. Shan mein kami nahi aati. It doesn't lower you in any sense. It only increases your izzat in the sight of Allah. When the Prophet ﷺ, the first revelation came, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a very big burden, a responsibility that was on his shoulder. So he came to his house, and Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was there. She consoled the Prophet ﷺ, and she consoled the Prophet ﷺ by some beautiful words. In those words, she mentioned the sifat of the Prophet ﷺ. She said, "Kalla," that Allah will never, wallahi ma yugzik Allahu abada, then never will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abandon you. Allah will never abandon you. Allah will never leave you astray. Will never leave you. Why? Innaka latasilu rahim. Because you join ties of kinship. You see, the benefiting other people, benefiting the relatives. Wa tahmilul kal, and you carry the burden of those people who are not able to carry their burdens. You help them, you benefit them. وَتَقْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ, and those who are not able to earn on their own, you earn for them and you provide them with their living. وَتَقْرِئُ الزَّيْفِ, and you honor your guests. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ, and you do madad, you assist those people on the path of haq and truth. If you look, these are the sifat of the Prophet ﷺ which are before Nabuwat. And all of them are sifat of benefiting other people. It means that there are certain ranks and rutbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person can only attain if they have such a character where they benefit other people. Then they can get this special belovedness of Allah ta'ala. The same thing we see in the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that when he got Najat from Fir'aun, and then he reached Madian, and there he got married to one of the daughters of Hazrat Shu'aib alayhi salam, and then he took permission to leave. And now when he's leaving with his wife, and she was expecting, and in fact even before that, when he was under the tree and there were two women who came, and he felt that these women are waiting for their turn at the well. Other people were not allowing them to take the water out from that well. So he felt that these people, the two women, they need some help. They need some assistance. And this is what an insan, a human being is. They're supposed to be searching for opportunities. That is there anyone who needs some help from me, some assistance from me? Is there any way I can benefit other people? So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he presented himself. And he said that I will help you. He took the water out for them and gave it to them. And then when those two women, they went back, they mentioned that whole story, that episode to their father. And then this nikah happened between Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and one of those daughters of Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam a house and also a beautiful spouse, a daughter of a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the reason? What was the wajah? What was the cause of this barakah? It was the khidmah, it was the benefit. That Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam wanted to benefit people, and Allah ta'ala gave him these blessings. And then when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was traveling with his wife and she was expecting, so again he felt this need that she needs help from me. She needs some assistance, she needs some warmth, something to keep her warm. So he looked here and there and he saw that far away there was this fire on this mountain. And he went there to that mountain with this niyat, to benefit, to get some warmth, or to be able to find the way so that we can go and live in some community and she can get some respite, some rest. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam goes to Mount Tur with this niyat of trying to find assistance, trying to assist his wife. And what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam with the nabuwat. And if you look at this the story again, the second story, we don't see some specific ibadah or act of worship that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam did. Rather, what we see behind this story is this sifa, this quality that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had, that he was a benefiting others, had this intention, this khulq, wanted to assist, help, fulfill the needs of people. And Allah Ta'ala blessed him with this rank of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All right. Then the Hadith Mubarakah continues that whoever walks with his brother, Muslim brother, in need until he establishes that for him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish his feet firmly on the day of Qiyamah. And these are the blessings when a person benefits other people. And in another hadith, the Prophet said that Al Khalqu Ayalullah, that the khalq, the creation, is the family, it's the household of Allah. Habbul khalqi ilallah, the most beloved of the creation of Allah is that person, man nafa'a ayalallah, is that person who gives benefit to other people, it gives benefit to the ayal, the family of Allah, the household of Allah. Wa adkhala ala ahli baytin sururan, and that person who brings happiness to the heart of a fellow believer. There's another hadith which is very important, where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned four things. Number one, that a person who removes any gham, any sorrow from the heart of his brother, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in compensation will remove gham from that person on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will remove the sorrows, the griefs of that day on the day of on that day, the day of Qiyamah, from this person who in this dunya helps to remove the sorrows and grief of other people. Second thing the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that whoever is in some difficulty, in some whether it's financial difficulty or otherwise, some constriction, and anyone eases the way for that individual, creates ease for that person, then as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create ease for this individual in the dunya and in akhirat. Sometimes you can create ease simply by giving moral support, mashwara, a counsel. Doesn't have to be financially easing someone, you can do verbally as well. And as a result, Allah will create ease for this person in dunya as well as in akhirah. Third, that whoever conceals the faults of his brother in this dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal the faults of that person in dunya and in akhirat. And the fourth thing is very ajeeb, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be helping that servant of his who is helping some other servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as this person is assisting and benefiting other people in either time duration, as long as we are engaged in helping and benefiting others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be helping and benefiting this person. Wallahu fi auni al-abd ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhihi. Allah will be the helper. Now all of us, we are making dua to Allah that Allah become our helper. Allah help us, assist us, shower us with your madad, your nusrat. The way to get this help from Allah is that as we help other people, Allah will help us. And when Allah will help us, then all our tasks will be fulfilled. You know, you won't need any other helper. So this is a very beautiful ibadat in our deen as well, that a person tries to benefit other people as much as we can. And as a result, we will become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there is a hadith Qudsi which is very beautiful and very ajeeb, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Bani Adam. Ya Ibn Adam, then marizutu falam ta'udni. Allah says that, oh son of Adam, yani, oh insan, that when I was sick, I became sick, and you never came to attend to my sickness. You never came and asked me about my health. And the person will reply that, Ya Rab, kaifa ud'uka wa anta rabbul alameen. That, Ya Allah, how can you become sick? And how can I do iyadat mariz? How can I ask you about your sickness? You are rabbul alameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, there will be a second question. Allah said that, oh insan, that I was hungry and you never came and gave me anything to eat. And again, human being will ask that, Ya Allah, you are Razak. How can you be hungry and how can I give you food? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the third question. That, oh insan, I was thirsty. I wanted water and you never gave me water. You never quenched my thirst. And again, insan will ask that, Ya Malikul Mulk, Ya Rabbul Alameen, how can you be thirsty? And how can I quench your thirst? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, oh insan, that there was this person in the dunya who was sick and you never went to do his iyadat, never went to pay him a sick visit. If you had gone there to pay him a sick visit, you would have found me there. It would be as if you paid a sick visit to me. And there was a person who was hungry in the dunya and you never gave him food. Had you given food to that person and removed the hunger of that person, it would be like you fulfilled my hunger. You would have removed my hunger. And then there was a person in the dunya who was thirsty and you never gave him water. Had you given him water and quenched his thirst, it would be as if you quenched my thirst. Allahu Akbar. And this is the concept that the deen of Islam is giving us. And there is no greater concept that you can find in any other religious tradition. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that, oh insan, if you were to pay someone a sick visit, it would be like you paid me a sick visit. If you give food and drink to some person who is needy, it would be like you give me food and drink. And we cannot think of a greater concept than this. There will be, that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this amal. They'll be doing, you will be doing this for me. And in fact, when a person helps other people, we should think that we are not helping other people, we are actually helping our own self. This is the secret. It's not the greatest blessing is that you're actually helping other. As a result of that, Allah will help you. This will be benefiting us. This will be benefiting us. That whoever, like we said, that whoever removes the sadness of a person, Allah will remove that person's sadness. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he mentions that on the day of Qiyamah, there will be people who will be raised up in such a manner where they won't have clothes on their body. They will be hungry, they will be thirsty, and there will be the sun above them. There will be no shade on that day except for the shade of the Arsh of Allah. And then on that day, Allah will say, فَمَنْ كَسَى لِلَّهِ, whoever gave a garment to any person in this dunya, that you cover yourself, use this garment, you donate clothes, right? Kasahullah, Allah will clothe that person on the day of Qiyamah. Man at'ama lillah, whoever gave food for the sake of Allah, then at'amahullah, Allah will feed that person on the day of Qiyamah. Man saqa lillah, who gave water for the sake of Allah in this dunya, Allah will give water to that person on the day of Qiyamah. Yani this, if we help other people, benefit other people, this is our tayari, our preparation for akhirah. And the day of akhirah is a time when we will be needy. Today, these people are needy around us and they're coming to us. If we fulfill their needs, we should remember about that day when we will be needy and standing before Allah, standing in a state where we won't have clothes on our body, we'll be hungry and thirsty, and the sun will be over us. So if we're spending this money and clothing someone, these clothes will come back to us and these clothes will wrap us up on that day when we'll need these clothes. This food that we give to other the needy in this dunya, this food will become our nourishment, our ghiza on that day. This water that we give will become our ghiza, our drink on that day. So we are not doing any ihsan on any other person. We are preparing for our own self. This is our preparation for akhirah. And if we don't make this preparation today, then an akhirah person will be in hasrat. Person will be in hasrat. Person will wish that I wish I had done this. I wish I had done this. So the real thing is that a person should have this nature where we are searching for opportunities to help other people. Once there was an old woman and who... Ajib, look at the khidmah that the Prophet used to do. Once there was an old woman who wanted to carry this some burden that she had, some tokri or some, you can say, a basket. But she was so old that she wasn't able to carry herself. And she was looking with this gaze that, can someone come and help me? That I cannot bear this heavy load on my shoulder. Is there anyone who can assist me and take this with me and carry this to my house? So one person, he stepped up and he took that load, that Amma, I will take this load for you. And he took that load on his shoulder, very heavy. And then he asked Amma that, where should I go? Where should I take this? And then she pointed, she walked with him to all the way, a long distance until she reached her house. And then that man, he kept that load and was about to turn back. But the Amma, she said to that man that, you have done this great, tremendous ihsan and favor upon me. I'm a poor woman. I don't have any money that I can give you. I don't have anything that I can give you as this, as a compensation for this khidmat that you have done. But what I can tell you is I can give you a nasihat. And I've heard that in Makkah Mukarma, there is a person by the name of Muhammad, and he is preaching about this new deen. And I advise you that don't listen to him. And when she gave this advice, then after that she said that, oh young man, before you turn away, can you please tell me your name? Can you please tell me your name? And that person, he replied that, Amma, my name is Muhammad. The Prophet, And then Amma, she began to cry. She cried and cried. She had tears flowing from her eyes. And she said, recited the kalama, and she became a Muslim. This was a moment of hidayat. Allah Ta'ala gave her hidayat. So when we have this sunnat in, this is the sunnat of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was the habit of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We should think that, have we ever done this sunnah? Have we ever revived this sunnah in our life? Have we ever carried the load of other people and helped other people? Is it easy for us to help other people? Do we think like that? Okay, how can I help other people? How can I benefit other people? How can I help my relative? How can I cause joy in the heart of my friend? How can I create joy in the heart of my parents? What can I do? What can I say to create joy and happiness in the heart of other believers? If we don't find these things in our schedule, then how are we following the sunnah of the Prophet says? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we can revive this sunnah within us. There will be a time. In fact, there is a hadith which mentions that those who help other people at times of needs, then Allah says that I'm going to raise them up on the day of Qiyamah in such a way that I won't give them any azab. They will have no punishment from me on that day, and I'll make them sit on these minbar of noor. And Allah Ta'ala will give them protocol on the day of Qiyamah, that they will be saved from the vashat, from the trials and tribulations of that day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala will give them the shade of His arsh. Allah will save them from any type of azab and make them sit on these minbar of noor. That these are those who used to help my servants in the dunya. And today I'm going to help them. I'm going to reward them. I'm going to honor them. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us that we can adorn ourselves with this sifat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us beneficial people. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا إيمانا كاملا وإيمانا دائما ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا ويقينا صادقا والشكر على العافية والغنى عن الناس يا رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين